Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. And yes, despite all the outer news, it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. Despite the times, it's a beautiful day for all three of us.
Yes, and we are apocalyptimists, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I love that word.
We are, to the core.
Apocalyptimists. Even though the world seems to be going to hell in a handbasket, we know it's going to turn out good anyway because we can use anything for good.
Yes, we can. And yes, it's our choice.
We can divinely order our human experience.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And you guys do it well. And so just remind the folks what your ministry is all about.
Well, thank you. Cher and I are the co-founders of an online ministry, two online ministries, actually. The latest, though, one we're very proud of, is an alternative unity ministry. And our name is the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
Yes. And you can get there at UCFYP, which are the initials for it, UCFYP.com. You can also go to yourspiritualpractice.com, which will take you to our bookstore, our product mall, and also link you back to Unity Center for Universal Prosperity, where we have lots of spiritual practices for you.
Yeah, lots of spiritual practices. They're up to volume what on your spiritual
volume
practice?
13.
Volume 13. And how many are in each volume?
Anywhere from 60 to 90.
You guys are amazing. Yeah, you're like machines.
Of course, some people look at these and say, oh, you're calling that a spiritual practice, but our whole goal is to make your life a spiritual practice.
Right, your whole life is a spiritual practice, if viewed from the inside out, so the outside in.
Yep.
Indeed. So I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you'll find my calendar. And go there because I'm constantly updating it and changing it. In fact, I just got a gig the last week of April for Albuquerque. I'll be teaching Metaphysics 4. If you want to learn more about metaphysics, that's going to be presented virtually via Zoom. So go over there and then find out how to register at Unity of Albuquerque. And of course, there is also my blog, which is really simply the Absolute Word, which is my version of the Daily Word that's published for Sunday. And of course, we do that at the end of the show, right, guys?
Yes, we do. It's great.
This is really cool that Bill and Cher and I are always talking right before the show, and we had one plan going forward, and we shift it. And I think what we're planning to do this week is really exciting, and what we had planned will fit really good as a follow-up to this show. And we're going to be talking about fear. And fear is on a lot of people's minds, whether you call it anxiety or tension or stress. Those are all ramifications of fear. And we're going to do a couple things. We are going to give you ways to deal with fear. However, we're going to give you a metaphysical perspective of fear, which I learned from my studies with A Course in Miracles, which is applicable to the metaphysics of unity. And of course, you can find this in my book, Unity and A Course in Miracles. But before I do anything else, guys, did you have anything else to share before I launch into this?
I think we're ready to roll.
You're ready to roll?
Yeah, I could share that some of our information's coming from one of our books, which is Living at the Speed of Life, Staying in Control in a World Gone Bonkers.
Yeah, wow, right?
This was written a while ago, but it certainly applies to now, doesn't it?
So read that title emphatically, will you please?
All right, Living at the Speed of Life, Staying in Control in a World Gone Bonkers.
Well, we could say it's gone bonkers, hasn't it?
Certainly has.
Yeah. We're living in the first chapter is on conquering fear and doubt. So that's
great.
First chapter is around that.
You're going to be sharing about that. So that's really good.
Our whole reason for sharing this particular fear episode with y'all is that so you don't become fearful. Fear, F-U-L-L.
Right.
fearful. Right.
We don't you don't want to become be filled full up of fear. So we want to give you some techniques and things that you can do to handle the fear. This is a quote from A Course in Miracles, and it goes like this. Fear and love are the only emotions of which you are capable. One is false. For it, fear was made out of denial. And denial depends on the belief in what is denied, which is love, for its own existence. By interpreting fear correctly as a positive affirmation of the underlying belief of love, it, fear, masks. You are undermining fear's perceived usefulness and rendering fear useless. Now, that's a lot of words, right?
Yeah,
folks?
Let's break that down.
we're going to break that down. What the Course is saying, I don't know if there's only two emotions, fear and love. We could certainly find in psychiatric manuals on that there are a multitude of feelings and a multitude of emotions. However, when we're talking about fear, if you really think about it, if I'm fearful, it's because I love myself. And in fact, I'm using the fear as a red flag for me to take care of myself in some way, to protect myself, protect myself from something like I'm doing, like in a high place when I used to be afraid of heights, or to protect myself from some outer thing. Like right now, a lot of people are fearful about the coronavirus and being infected by it and what that might mean for their lives. You are afraid, I am afraid, because ultimately we love ourselves. And when we become focused on the fear, we forget about the love. And the fear couldn't be present if I didn't first love myself in some way. And the same is true if you're afraid for a son or a daughter or a spouse, someone that you love dearly, that you're afraid that they're going to infect themselves and die. And you wouldn't have the fear if you didn't first love them. And so this is what the Course means, is that fear exists because you love. It couldn't exist if you didn't love. In a sense, then, when we get focused on the fear, that focus keeps me from remembering the love. And so if every time you get fearful or I get fearful, I remember that this can't be here unless there is love, then I can look at what is it that I'm loving, that I'm using fear to protect myself. That is really a profound thought, I think. And I really give Course in Miracles credit for that. Bill and Sherry, you have any comment?
One interesting thing from that, because one of the things we teach when we teach about fear, how to handle fear, is that sometimes it's not that fear is a bad thing. It can actually be a warning. It can be a message to you. You need to pay attention. So you shouldn't feel guilty or negative about yourself if you feel fear. And what you're sharing really ties in with that so beautifully, because as soon as you feel the fear, it's almost like a voice telling yourself, look for the love. So it can become a signal for you rather than something to resist.
And it's not something to deny, in my opinion. You've heard the expression, fear is false evidence appearing real. Well, sorry, but the evidence associated with this particular COVID-19 virus is not false, and it certainly is very real.
Yeah, and we could say it's justified, and we don't want to stay focused on the fear because that activates the amygdala and all of that. And when we're focused on the fear, we don't think as clearly as we can.
Exactly.
So the fear is a signal or a message we are giving ourselves to remind ourselves how much we love ourselves.
I really like that, because then it brings the attention. You acknowledge the fear.
Acknowledge the fear.
And now you're focused on the love.
Yes.
Yeah. And it brings the focus. It shifts reframes. I love that word, reframe. And it reframes where your thoughts are and how you see the situation.
Exactly. So when you're afraid, if I'm afraid, there's something I'm loving. So what is that? And it's usually yourself or another some way. Yeah. So you want to give some more from your book?
One of the things that's interesting, and we talked about this, is you very often fear is masked by other things and you don't even realize that it's fear. you're not hearing the message, so to speak. You're not getting the signal. And a couple of them are real interesting, one of which is an overwhelming desire to sleep.
Oh, that's really good. To escape, yeah. You're escaping something,
it's
right?
It's an escape. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to get out of it and you just get so tired. And if you're feeling really sluggish and tired, it might be interesting to just sit with yourself a little and say, is there something I'm feeling uncomfortable about? Am I fearful of doing it? And we were sharing this in one of our classes once, and somebody there was in a city where there's a military base. And they said, you know, it's so interesting when we go up for our first skydive experience as a unit. It's so amazing because everybody gets on the plane, and as soon as the plane's up, everybody falls asleep.
Really?
It's almost incredible. People just fall asleep while we're on our way to where we're going to do the drop. And he said, I think a lot of that is fear because people are scared to death on that first drop.
So falling asleep would either be a flight, fight, freeze. So it's a freeze. It's also a flight in a way.
Yeah, literally for that example.
Literally in this case, right? Yeah. Yeah, I missed that pun. Thanks, Cher. So yes, flight is about escaping the problem. And so is freeze, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, because it could be both.
You know, my experience is the freeze is what happens more than anything else for most people. The fight and flight, you know, we used to talk about that, but back in the tiger days, but now people get immobilized when they're fearful. It's like you can't make a decision. You don't know, you just run around in your head and you let your emotions take over. And so recognizing it is so important.
Yes.
And you know, as I'm sitting here listening to you too, I also just occurred to me that I wonder if people who are stuck in dogma are stuck there because of fear of knowing who they really are as spiritual beings and denying their divinity. I wonder if that's got something to do with that.
That is likely. That's really a profound question. I would have blown that off really fast and said what their fear is about. If they don't believe this, God's going to strike them dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's the obvious one. That's the surface one.
But it's more than that.
You're digging even deeper. That quote from Marianne Williamson about how our greatest fear is the fear of our own power. Your own personal power. And haven't you had that come up in class? I certainly have, where people say, well, if someone feels that powerful, then they're going to misuse it or something, right?
As if
they shut off their reasoning or their intellect.
Yeah. You have to learn how to use your power, but that's what all the courses are about and the practice. That's why spiritual practice is called practice because it's an opportunity. And then when we really need to call on it, we've begun to build that muscle memory, if you will, and we can just use it. We can go there fast. Like you can drop into a meditation in a minute. You remember to do the deep breathing because you've made it part of your practice.
Right. And so let's use the rest of our time. Let's invest it looking at some strategies. We talk about which is seeing fear as an affirmation of love's presence and identifying what that is. Cher just mentioned breathing, and we've talked at length on several shows about the calm and connect response, which is a breathing thing. 4, 7, 8, you do it 3 times. You breathe into a count of 4, you hold for a count of 7, you breathe out, emptying your lungs to a count of 8, and you do that 3 times. Mm-hmm. And everyone I've given that to in a moment of stress finds it calms them down. In fact, I think because it stimulates the vagus nerve, which is an autonomic thing.
That's exactly what it does.
Right?
Yes, that's exactly what it does.
Is that they can't override it. Mm-hmm. When you're activating it, it must happen. So that's a big advantage to that.
Right.
And then we've also talked about tapping and echo meditation. And you can refer to previous programs. And Cher, I don't think we put those on the website. I will send those to you. Those documents give you one more thing to do. And then, so you guys had something else that you wanted to share. So that's a review.
Yeah. One is the formula that we use, because Bill mentioned that false evidence appearing real, which never resonated with us. We never really cared for that surprise. We decided to come up with something else. So we literally turn it into 4 steps to handle fear. So the first thing is the F is face it.
Face it.
You have to acknowledge it. And that goes back to what Paul said in the very beginning, is recognizing that it's a signal to you, that you hear it, you're aware of fear.
Yes.
You have to face it and then embrace it. The E in fear is embrace it. So in other words, instead of being resistant to the fear, you embrace it. You say, what is this fear telling me? What can I learn from this fear? How can I become better at dealing with it? So you just make friends with it. Then the A is act on it, where you actually do something. And in the case of what we talked about earlier, you ask the question, what do I love? What is the love that's related to this? Might be a way you act. It might be, if you have a fear of going out in public wearing a mask, you're afraid of what people are going to think. Well, you face it, you embrace the idea, go on the internet and learn how to make your own mask, pick something you love,
yeah,
and for the material, and have fun with it. And then you actually act on it. You actually put it on and you go out and you be in the moment doing it. And then the R is reinforce your success.
Reinforce.
So when you
come
back, remember, you know, reinforce it. What did I do? How did it go? I'm proud of myself. This worked. It was better than I thought. And wow, I love that. And I'm going to do it again. So I can another R would be replicated. I can replicate it. I can do it again.
And I think another R there too, if you've done all those things, you're also reached probably a place of release in a way.
Oh, I like that too. Yes, so you're totally released.
You have released. And so all the research is showing that the old way we used to think about it in Unity is you would ignore if something bad was going on. You would ignore it and we'd just affirm yourself out of the problem. Now, all the psychology and all of that is showing us that acknowledging the fear, facing it, is important. And in fact, one of the ways in which tapping works is you start out first by reliving, or if it's something from the past, you actually emphasize the negative memory.
Right.
And that's one of the ways you de-energize it. And that's
like
just the opposite.
I feel, yeah.
So even though I feel fearful, I love and accept myself the way I am.
Right.
And they want you to be more specific. So it would be like, even though I'm fearful of the coronavirus, I love myself exactly as I am, something like that.
Right.
So there's always a reframing going on, which is really important.
Do you remember the ladder analogy we used?
Yeah, one of the things that Sarah and I use to let folks know is an analogy of simply climbing a regular ladder. As you move from one rung to the next rung, your foot, as it's moving from the lower rung to the higher rung, is suspended for a moment. And if you focus all your attention on the suspended foot, that's where fear and uncertainty and doubt may occur. But you know, if you just think about it, you've got both hands on each railing and the lower foot very firmly placed on the rung beneath it. And as you step up and put that suspended foot on the next higher rung, you continue your trip up the ladder.
Yeah.
So you don't want to suspend yourself on uncertainty.
Don't focus
on
that suspended foot. Put your focus on the where you got your hands and your
stability.
Is your understanding, your principles, your
wisdom.
All the abilities that you have within you to know that you can move through this, and recognizing like the power of imagination, which we've talked about before, can be wonderful for coming up with divine ideas, but that's where your fear is stimulated too, is from that lower level, lower elevation of the imagination power.
Right. So if you're in fear, you're imagining what could go wrong.
Right.
So when you realize that fear is simply an indicator that love's presence, so how can you use your imagination to see that love that you are would be very important.
Yeah.
And there's another piece to that, Bill, is that you can't get higher on the ladder if you don't have that transitory time, right? Where there's some uncertainty going on, right?
And you're making release your friend.
Right,
yes,
release
are.
Is your
That's
friend.
Great. Yeah.
Release is your friend. Well, how many people go into freeze going up a ladder?
True.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Some people won't even take that first step, which goes back to act on it.
Exactly. So let's just review those real quickly. Fear, F is?
Face it, embrace it, act on it, and then reinforce it. Reinforce the success.
The success.
Or release it. Release it might even go better there. Act on it and then release it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Kind of like release. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So three heads are better than one.
All the time.
All right. And that's something you wrote before and you've grown and changed, right?
Sure. Absolutely. As right. we all do.
All
as
do.
We all better be doing, right?
Right. Okay. So we're going to pivot to the absolute word, which is for Sunday, April 5th. The absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. April 5th, the word is Hosanna. Hosanna. Hey. With joy and praise, I celebrate my growing Christ awareness. You could also say, I celebrate my growing divine awareness, if you don't like the word Christ. Shouts of Hosanna arise as the people cover the dusty road with palm branches, greeting Jesus with great enthusiasm as he rides a donkey into Jerusalem, according to the gospel stories. Spiritually understood, the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem symbolizes the dawning of the awareness of the divine in the heart of humankind. The crowd shouts of Hosanna represent prayers that this dawning divine awareness be protected and nurtured. Metaphysically understood, the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem symbolizes the entry of my divine awareness into my peaceful consciousness. The crowd shouts of Hosanna are my thoughts and feelings of praise and joys. What I praise grows in consciousness. The story informs me about how to increase my divine awareness. With joy and praise, I celebrate my growing Christ or divine awareness. And so it is. Yes. Wow.
Yes, so it is.
It's a good way to wrap up the program since we were focusing on fear. Mm-hmm. That shifts us to a focus on love. And now during this Easter week, we're shifting to a focus on our awareness of our divine identity, our divine self. Such an important process. Listeners, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. We love you. We bless you. We're here for you. And we know you're here for us as we're all in this life together. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher.
Thank you so much. And we just appreciate and love all of you.
And as always, it's our privilege.